Live from America's finest city, this is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN 1700. And now, your hosts, Ryan White and David McKelvin.
Welcome. It's ESPN 1700 AM, the Real Estate Radio Hour. We have with us today, might even be the seventh time.
I think so.
Substantial repeat offender here. Mr. Lackey, Jim Lackey, our mortgage concierge, specializing in out-of-the-box financing solutions. He's a hard money lender with a soft heart. Right?
Exactly right.
Okay, excellent. We will certainly hear more from him, as well as Elon Arbuck. He is a senior loan consultant, 2013 five-star mortgage professional award winner. Wow, well, I guess 2014 isn't over yet, so that's still on the table.
Got another one coming in 2014.
Okay, perfect. With C2 Financial Corporation. So in case you haven't figured it out yet, we're going to talk about lending money, right? The hard way and maybe the soft way if it is. Any way you want to do it, we've got a solution for you to borrow money. And I think that's really important because I think the way money is lent, I believe, to be an overall description of the health of the market. We all remember a time when you couldn't borrow, right? And that's because everybody was scared about not getting paid back. Well, things have changed to some degree, right? I mean, we're not all the way back to fogging a mirror loans, right? You still have to prove some documentation, but we're coming back and it's not as hard as it was. And really, that's our message, is that there's a loan out there if you're interested in making a move, right? That's the general idea, right, guys?
Right. I think so, yeah.
Okay, Jim. So again, Jim Lackey, he is our mortgage concierge. His website, jimlackeyassociates.com. That's the website, jimlackeyassociates.com. Again, hard money lender, out-of-the-box financing. And let's talk how a hard money lender can have a soft heart. I mean, you know, hard money has kind of a bad connotation, but you're a nice guy. You got a dog. You're golfing. I mean, you're not really that bad. Kind of give some idea as to why people shouldn't be scared of borrowing money from hard money lenders such as yourself.
Well, usually the people that borrow money privately are not themselves necessarily bad people. They're people that have found themselves in circumstances where going to a bank just isn't going to happen. They're not going to be able to get a loan from a bank. So I kind of feel like what we do is we provide a solution, an alternative financing solution to people that just aren't going to meet the criteria of a bank. And we still, even though the money is more expensive than a bank loan, we still look at the borrower. We don't want to lend money to somebody that we don't have a good feeling that they're going to be able to pay the money back and doesn't have cash flow to be able to service the debt and that sort of thing. We just don't have quite the severe types of regulatory oversight in terms of our underwriting. The costs are more expensive, but generally the loans are going to be for some legitimate business purpose, in which case the borrowed money will turn into a higher return by virtue of borrowing the money. So nothing to really be afraid of, I guess, to answer your question.
Okay. Good explanation. So a lot of your lending happens for new construction. People looking to buy dirt and build, or, you know, tear down and build new construction, however you look at it. And I do believe that amount of new construction happening is an overall statement as to the market's health. So what's going on in the new construction world?
Well, there is a lot of new construction going on. You know, my focus as a business is more along the coastal areas of Southern California.
Good for you.
San Diego primarily. I insist on being able to get my feet on the ground and see every piece of property that we lend against. So I don't want to have to drive 5 hours necessarily to go see it. So generally it's here in San Diego and along the coast. And if you drive around, you see a lot of new construction that's happening. And that, in my view, is a function of the fact that there wasn't much building going on when the market collapsed. The cities were not getting requests for plans to be approved and whatnot, and as a result of that, not a lot was being built. And since the market has rebounded, builders, developers, general contractors, speculators, and whatnot have come back into the market and are now getting those projects approved and being built for consumers.
And so why are you so involved in new construction? Am I to say that if I'm building a house, I can't get a traditional loan?
Well, it depends. I hate to sound like an attorney, but it does kind of depend.
Yes, no need for an attorney.
Yeah, if you're going to build a home for yourself to live in, so Ryan, if you and your wife wanted to buy a piece of dirt, buy a lot, and build a home for yourselves, and you meet the criteria that a bank uses to determine your creditworthiness, et cetera, you can go to a bank and get a loan to help you buy the lot and to build the home and get a mortgage, as long as you meet all those criteria. If you're a builder, on the other hand, and you're going to build a home to be sold, the bank is reticent to do that. There are a few banks that will do that, but a bank that does that's going to require more than just the asset that they're lending on as a source of repayment. They're going to want you to personally guarantee repayment of that loan.
And let's step back for just a second, because that may not be obvious, that distinction you just made there, being that in a traditional purchase, the collateral being put up for the loan is the home.
Correct.
Right? And I think what you're saying is when potentially building a home on spec, which means, what does that mean, spec?
For sale.
But speculation,
right?
Speculation, it's a short term for speculation, meaning that you're not going to live in it, you're going to sell it, turn it around, hence a builder, right?
Right.
They may require additional collateral other than simply the real property itself.
Well, exactly. Well, they're going to look more stringently at the borrower. They're going to look at the borrower's liquidity. They're going to look at his cash flow. They're going to look at what his overall global liabilities are. So they're not going to just look at it, that particular transaction. And it's going to be more difficult. And oftentimes the bank will say, you know, geez, what happens if you build this and you don't sell it when our loan is due?
Right.
They're going to look for what a bank calls secondary support. Secondary support is either additional assets that you can pledge as collateral. But basically, the bank's going to ask you to sign personally on that loan and say, okay, if it doesn't sell within the time frame, I will guarantee personally I'm going to repay the loan. Well, if you're a builder, having a strong financial statement and the assets to make that guarantee meaningful, oftentimes those don't even belong in the same sentence together. So they'll come to somebody like me who can put a loan together to build on spec. And I'm really more going to look at the end value of the home when it's built and the likelihood that that's going to be the manner that the loan's going to be repaid. I'm not going to require a personal guarantee from the borrower. I don't look at it the same way that a bank does. And the process ends up being a lot easier, a lot faster. And so even though it's a little more expensive, okay, a lot more expensive, it's still valuable to the borrower because he gets his project funded and he gets the home built and he gets it on the market.
If you don't have that financial statement to guarantee it personally, there's no other options.
Correct. I mean, I'll still look at a financial statement, but I'm not going to make a lending decision based entirely on the strength of the borrower. I'm going to look more at the real estate. I'm going to look at the builder's experience, his track record. Has he done this before, or is he a fireman that decided I want to get into construction because I've heard it's a great place to make a whole bunch of money. So I'm going to look at the borrower, make sure that he's built homes before, he's built this kind of home, this size and spec level, if you will, finishes level, because I don't want to lend money to somebody who's just decided he wants to build homes for a living. I don't want to be the guy that does that first transaction for him. I want him to be somebody with a track record.
But I think that's the general idea, in that when you're dealing with a big institution to getting a loan from, there are certain boxes they require to be checked, regardless if they're compensating factors or not. And I think really it comes down to you are willing to look at those compensating factors, and that's one of the big differences. That's the out-of-the-box part.
Correct.
Right? If you don't have necessarily the powerful financial statement backing you up, there's other compensating factors. One might look at, like, you know, we've done this 30 times before. We have other projects. You know, there's a variety of things one might look at to compensate for potential shortcomings that a big lending institution wouldn't really take the time, deal with, to go over. We're talking with Jim Lackey, Mortgage Concierge. His website is JimLackeyAssociates.com. That's his website, JimLackeyAssociates.com. Now, Jim, you said here that there's been a spike in new construction, right? That's what we're kind of talking about, an additional amount of people building brand new properties, which is why you're involved, of course, because you're lending them money to assist them in doing so. But I think that's unique, of course, from a lending perspective, but also a general temperature of the marketplace, because as the market is going down, all the lenders stop, or excuse me, all the builders stop building.
Right.
And good for them. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. So as things are ramping up, maybe that's evidence that an increase or a sustainable market is ahead of us. These guys are spending an enormous amount of time, effort, and money to say 6, 8, 10 months from now, their value is going to be in their property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have experts looking at this every day. I think it's a really good indicator for those of us that are don't have experts looking at this every day that it may not be the worst idea to follow suit.
Well, I think so. The other thing that's just a fact of the market is that, you know, the supply of available homes to purchase on the market is pretty small. I mean, there was a lot of absorption of product, and in any market where there's not enough supply, somebody's going to come in and fill that gap, and they're going to create supply, and that's what the new construction is doing. It's creating more product for the consumer to be able to purchase.
Certainly makes a lot of sense. One more time, JimLackeyAssociates.com. That's his website, JimLackeyAssociates.com. When we come back, we're going to talk to our 2013 Five-Star Mortgage Professional Award winner and soon to be 2014 Five-Star Mortgage Award winner, Elon Arbuck. We're going to talk about the 6 best things a borrower can do to make it easier to get a home loan and the 5 best ways to refi ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We've been talking with Jim Lackey. He is our mortgage concierge. His website, JimLackeyAssociates.com. That's his website, JimLackeyAssociates.com. I'm going to shift gears here to more traditional financing, talking with Elon Arbuck. His phone number, 619-994-7887. One more time, 619-984-7887. So you're a mortgage professional in the more conservative space, right, with a traditional lender. And the general idea here is concerns about qualifications, right? The mortgage industry has changed. A lot of news about how it was super easy before, then it became impossible. What's the general state of the mortgage industry today?
Well, we've begun to see some green shoots coming through the ground. There's definitely loans
okay.
being done.
Okay.
But it's for sure a lot harder than it ever was. Back in the heyday, a lot of people did qualify who shouldn't have been given loans, and that was a lot of the programs being given to Wall Street to put together and to set up. But it's the very well-qualified people who still produced tax returns back in the day and got approved. They're having a harder time. We're getting them done, but it's much, much harder. So the mortgage industry is sort of like if you and I had trained or exercised our listeners at sea level and we went up to 8,000 feet and said, well, let's go on a run, start breathing harder, it takes much more. And that's what the lending industry has become. We get loans done, but it takes 3 times as long. And most people who haven't experienced it aren't really prepared for how detailed the analysis is. It's like a lot of different exams all rolled into one. And the lenders, they've been deputized. We all have been deputized by the federal government to look at people's potential, you know, terrorist activities or money laundering or anything else. And, you know, it's a valid concern, but it's gotten to the point where just the average well-qualified person has to go through a lot of hoops as if they were getting a security clearance.
And you know, I think my parents, my dad for sure, I know would say, hey, that's the way it should have always been. Right. So just because we are used to something different doesn't mean that that was right. And so just to clarify, back, you know, frankly, before I was in the business, 2000-ish, there was requirements like having a job, having money in the bank, you know, W-2s, stuff like that. And then we went through this big increase where all that necessity kind of went away. And then 2010, it didn't matter what you had. Right. Yeah. 90% money, 90% down. Didn't matter. You couldn't get a loan. We're coming out of that now to a point where it's still lendable, but you got to have the paperwork. Right. That's the general idea.
And many borrowers had the paperwork back in 2003 to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was the government basically told Wall Street, well, you design the programs and you make the money and let's go. There were still all of the traditional qualifying programs, tax returns, the better programs. What went wrong was that Wall Street decided that, you know, put it squarely at their door, they decided that, well, you know, having a job, not really that important. Having good credit, yeah, it's overrated. Having a down payment, I don't know, does that really matter? So we took all those things and we rolled them into one. A lot of us, I was a mortgage banker. I owned and operated my own mortgage banking company. I didn't do those loans because I was responsible for their performance. But Wall Street said, you know, we don't really need any of those things. And a lot of the big banks got on board. It was greed. And so we still had, and the proof of that is that when you look at foreclosures and short sales, about 20% of the market is involved. Those are the 20% that pretty much got these subprime loans. A lot of Alt-A borrowers were really very strong. So that's where most of the lack of performance, and then like a perfect storm, it all snowballed. Suddenly the entire market collapsed. And so well-meaning people were upside down in their homes like mm-hmm. a storm, but they didn't start out that way. They qualified for their purchase. They had jobs. They lost their jobs. And that's why we call it a perfect storm. It started out in a small segment. You know, it's like a virus or a world pandemic. It started out small and then it spread to engulf a lot of people. And that's why, you know, we think that it all was bad, but it wasn't. There was a lot of traditional underwriting. It's just the part of it that went just without any sense of what we need to make a good loan. And it's gotten to the point, I think your dad would be shocked to see, have to answer a question of, what is this $250 deposit in your account? And what is this $300 deposit in your account? And not just tell us, we want canceled checks. And we want, I mean, I think most people consider that a severe intrusion and not really essential to whether they're good borrowers or not. We're talking about good borrowers. We're not talking about marginal. We're talking about people who really have great credit, have income, have everything else. But now the underwriters, my line is, they feel like they work for Joseph Stalin. If they make a mistake, they will be taken out and shot. And I've asked reps of mine who work for large lenders, it is like that. They've dumbed down the underwriting. Most of the senior people left because they were burnt out. And so they just said, we can't take it anymore. We're leaving. So we have a poorly trained underwriting staff, and the desire and the need to ask any possible question that most people would think is really over the top. And again, I like to say, these are qualified borrowers. These aren't people that are marginal or have problems. Not at all.
So, okay, we talked about the past, and we're beyond that now. Problems happen. You know, life goes on. We're in a situation now where you can get a mortgage, right? It's out there. People are getting mortgages. I've gotten a couple mortgages within the last, 10 years we just talked about. It's totally doable. And obviously my income, I'm a real estate agent. I make my money in commission. There's all kinds of craziness going on with my income. It's not simple. So it's doable. And I looked producing, I think it was 2 years worth of canceled checks I had to cough up in order to achieve that. So nonetheless, I get it. It makes a lot of sense. Elon Arbuck, his number 619-994-7887. One more time, 619-994-7887. So can most people go out and get a loan today?
Yes, they can. And it is very doable. We're finding we get loans done. But my analogy was, it's like working and training at sea level, or being used to living at sea level, and then going up to 8,000 or 10,000 feet and saying, well, hike up here and see what it's like. We definitely get people done. But sometimes we have to go to extraordinary lengths for people that you would not think would need to provide that. But we are getting those loans done. The government says it's gotten a lot easier. It hasn't, but we're definitely closing a lot of loans. And, you know, no one should delay. I mean, because rates are good right now, and they probably will be into the near future. But it's an unknown. Depends on world events. Depends on the U.S. economy. So anyone who's considering it should just move forward and get started, because it's definitely doable.
Well, here's one of the biggest differences that I'm seeing, is that when people come up with the idea of saying, I want to buy a home, what do? They go online, they look at pretty pictures, and then hopefully they call me and say, we want to go see, you know, these three, something like that, right? That was okay a couple of years ago when I could get, you know, the general loan process done essentially while I'm in escrow, right? Because no offense, I'm sure all the lenders are out there and very nice to deal with, but you guys aren't as exciting as looking at pretty pictures of homes, nor walking in through homes. And simply financially undressing in front of a stranger is, again, not as interesting as looking at pretty homes. So the process used to be, although we would try to convince them otherwise, look at pretty homes, we find one we like, great, let's find if we can qualify. Everybody in the world would prefer that happens in the opposite step process, but you could still get it done. You could compensate for that within 17 days and get it over with. Now, there's so much documentation, like the $250 transaction, the $300 transaction that you mentioned, that we require documentation of. 17 days is not enough time anymore. So even more so, you got to get squared away ahead of time with the lender so that you know you're going to be approved, because the 17 days, everything is being checked so much now that there's just not enough time. Reach out to Elon Arbuck. His number is 619-994-7887. One more time, 619-994-7887. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Jim Lackey. Talk about non-recourse loans. First, he's going to explain what that is, and then we're going to talk about it ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We've been talking with Elon Arbuck. He is the 2013 five-star mortgage professional award winner. His number here, 619-994-7887. One more time, 619-994-7887. How long do we have to wait to find out if the 2014 award hits?
Any day.
Any day. Okay, perfect, perfect. Set your calendars. Okay, Mr. Lackey, we promised to discuss non-recourse construction loans. Let's first describe what that means and why I should care.
Well, it means that you're not going to have to personally guarantee repayment of the loan.
Okay, got it.
So you're an individual, you have assets in your family, you have a trust, you have a retirement account, you have things that are, they're yours.
Yours.
And if you don't have to pledge those as additional security to repay a loan, you really don't want to. I have a client right now, for example, who was a big developer. I won't tell you how much he was on the hook for personally. Okay, it was $150 million, believe it or not. When the market cratered and the banks that he had those loans with went under and the FDIC took over those banks, the new banks that then took over the assets of those banks were not quite as understanding, and he had no choice but to file for bankruptcy. And he went from about a $40 million net worth, of which about $10 million was in cash, to being zero. So he's filed for personal bankruptcy. He's back in the business now, but he said, I'm never signing another personal guarantee on a loan. So he's become a candidate for, he has a little infill development project that's going to be privately financed because my loans aren't going to require him to pledge his personal assets. It's just the way banks operate. They don't do non-recourse loans. Private loans, not so much.
Got it. You've got some examples here. I think this is example time. First one talks about a property in Cardiff. What'd you do there?
Well, actually, you may remember from one of our earlier shows, Ryan, that we did a loan for a couple that was very well qualified, good income, had a lot of cash to be able to put down on a purchase of a home in Cardiff. It was about $1 million with the purchase price. They couldn't get a conventional loan to buy that house because they had had an investment property in Arizona, or what I like to call an investment property.
Ooh.
And they had a short sale, and that kicks them out of the box as far as a traditional loan is concerned. So
right.
They were buying a home for $1 million. They had $650,000 to put down. Weren't going to be able to get a bank loan because of the short sale. So we did a privately financed loan there for a year. We knew it was going to be a year because their short sale would season during that period of time, meaning it would come up on the 2 years or what was.
So they were in the penalty box with respect to traditional financing for 2 years after the short sale. 1 year in, they wanted to buy a home.
Correct. And so we did that loan to help them buy that property, and coincidentally, or maybe not so coincidentally, Elon is actually working on getting their permanent loan now, a new conventional loan, scheduled to close middle of September, so we're about a year later. And so the beauty of that is it puts those people into a conventional loan at much more affordable pricing.
Right.
Long-term, 30-year fixed mortgage, whatever the program is that Elon's going to do for them. Our private investor who did the short-term loan is going to be repaid. He's made a nice return on his investment over the course of a year, and everybody wins.
We're talking with Jim Lackey. He's our resident mortgage concierge. His website is jimlackeyassociates.com. That's the website, jimlackeyassociates.com. Now, I remember running the numbers with a buddy of mine who went through a short sale, and I've heard lenders say, yeah, if you went through this short sale successfully, but you weren't late on your payments, well, you know, that changes things, so to speak. I've never met anybody who successfully produced a short sale without being late on their payments. So let's just throw that out of the box. You know, if you have gone through a short sale, for the most part, you're late on your payments. Most banks required that. So that was his case. He went through a short sale. He was late on his payments because that's what his bank told him to do. And he wanted to go out and rebuy a home. You know, let's say it was 6 months before his penalty box was up, if you will. And he went out and looked at construction financing, or let's say non-traditional financing. It's more expensive, as you described. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were only talking $200,000, $300,000 purchase price. It was not a huge number. So, of course, the difference between conventional financing and hard money in terms of rate may be different, but in terms of actual payment, not huge, because the overall amount borrowed wasn't a big difference. So we check that against what he proposed the inflation or increased value would be over the next 6 months, right? So we made some guesses, you know, 4% a year is kind of what we guessed. Over the next 6 months, the property would have gone up 3% more, right? So over the course of a year, that's 10, you know, or 6 months, that's 10 grand, right? And so the difference now between what he would pay in interest to a hard money lender versus a traditional lender was like 3 grand. I mean, so from that perspective, it made all the sense in the world to go out and pull the trigger on it. He actually decided to move out of San Diego, so that never happened. But it was really interesting for me to see that. I can see a lot of people saying, hey, we're not going to buy until our penalty box is up, because that makes sense. It's just too expensive. But I was really surprised when I ran the numbers with a very conservative appreciation number being 4%, which is inflation. Right? You know, basically inflation. Mm-hmm. It made all kinds of sense to jump in, even if you're paying a little bit more for the loan. I would imagine that's exactly what these people in Cardiff thought.
You know, I'd like to think that they were that analytical, but I kind of don't think so.
Okay. They just wanted a house.
They wanted the house. It was a beautiful home. It was actually owned by a general contractor. It had been just completely redone. It was a beautiful home. It was a totally emotional decision. They wanted to make sure that they got it and somebody else didn't get it. And they knew they were only going to be in the penalty box for a year. And the difference in the cost between the private loan and a conventional loan, they're only going to pay it for a year anyway. And they end up with the house that they want. I don't think they looked at it so much from a mathematical point of view of inflation and that sort of thing. I mean, that's great that your guy did that. But as you said, he's not in San Diego anymore. He's
right.
Gone,
he ended up leaving town, which probably meant that he ran the numbers. It was way cheaper to live somewhere else. But it was really interesting to me to actually do the calculation. We had all kinds of Excel spreadsheets going on left and right. Okay, so modular homes as well?
Yeah.
People still buying, building, putting up, lending on modular homes?
Well, you know, modular construction is not it's not as prevalent in the West Coast as it is in the center of the country and on the East Coast.
Okay.
Banks will do those loans in that part of the country. Out here in California, it's just not as prevalent. But occasionally you'll have a client, and it's becoming more popular because while the cost of construction is not significantly less than ground-up stick-built construction, the time to build that it takes to actually construct a house is compressed significantly. So I have a client, the example you're referring to is I have a client who, a couple that bought a home out in Bonsall, or excuse me, they bought a lot in Bonsall. They designed a home to be built in a factory. That home was actually literally just ordered, quote unquote, about 2 weeks ago. The home will be delivered to the site in the middle of September, 5 weeks end to end. And that's only 3 weeks to build it and 2 weeks to order all the parts. So it's very compressed. That home will be, you know, driving down the freeway in the middle of the night here in the middle of September. And it'll be affixed to a foundation on site. And it'll, at that point, become real property. We did a loan for them to be able to, they already own the lot. So we did a private loan for them because they couldn't really get a bank loan because modular is still kind of newish out here.
It tends to get lumped in with mobile.
It does.
And just because they all start with M doesn't make them the same.
It does. And, you know, I've been aware and following modular construction for the last couple of years, and I was probably guilty, like everyone. I thought it was four wheels and a propane tank, but it really isn't. It's really just what's considered off-site construction. It's just a home that's built elsewhere, and then it's shipped and affixed to a foundation on site. But that loan that we did was a way for the client to be able to get into the home that they want to have. And now Elon, actually, speaking of Elon again, I'm giving him more airtime indirectly. Elon's actually doing the permanent loan for them that will provide a long-term mortgage that will repay our loan. And, you know, banks will probably, I think banks will probably come around over time as it becomes more prevalent in California. But at the moment, it's still hard for them to kind of figure out. They're normally, when you do a construction loan, there's a detailed budget and you have line items and you make advances against that. You know, you withdraw money for a foundation and for electrical and plumbing and lumber and, you know, putting it all together. And in a modular home, you kind of have a line item in the budget that's called house. And you do a deposit to the manufacturer, to the facility, that's half of the cost of the house. And then you pay the other half when it's finished. And it's just non-traditional enough for a bank that they just kind of don't get it yet, at least not here in California. So it became the domain of a private loan to be able to get that done.
We're talking with Jim Lackey. His website, jimlackeyassociates.com. That's his website, jimlackeyassociates.com. So if I'm to understand correctly, it seems like you're the first step in perhaps a two-step process with respect to this modular home, meaning that I think maybe because it was not on site and perhaps could be considered real property until it's placed on a foundation, that's why they had to go to traditional financing. As soon as it's anchored down and given the certification of habitability, it is now real property and can get a traditional mortgage. Is that the general idea?
Correct. Correct. And frankly, we wouldn't have done the loan, the construction loan to build this home, did we not have a high degree of confidence that there was going to be permanent financing behind it, because we're not long-term. Our loans are not long-term. They're
right.
12 months, 18 months, maybe 24 months. And the client's not going to want to pay a high rate of interest for the next 30 years.
Sure.
And I'm not willing to do a short-term construction loan that might turn into long-term. So I had to know with a pretty high degree of confidence before we did that loan that there was going to be conventional financing once that house was built and deployed on the foundation. And we had a pretty good feel for that going into
it. Make sure you had a parachute in place.
Exactly.
Got it. Again, we're talking with Jim Lackey, Mortgage Concierge. His website is jimlackeyassociates.com. That's his website, jimlackeyassociates.com. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Elon Arbuck. We're going to talk about the National Association of Realtors statistics about what holds up close of escrow. I have a few things to say about this ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We've been talking with Jim Lackey. One more time, his website, jimlackeyassociates.com. That's his website, jimlackeyassociates.com. Now, Lon, you brought the statistic from the National Association of Realtors here that says 25% of all purchase close of escrows have been delayed due to borrowers' loan approval problems. I have to say the National Association of Realtors is flat wrong. It's got to be way higher than that. It's darn near 3 out of 4, if not more, that the delay has something to do with a loan, and generally because the borrower didn't get in front of the process enough. Isn't that what you're finding?
Absolutely, and that's the thing that I keep reminding people of all sorts. The most qualified, the least qualified. I brought that statistic in, but I personally was surprised myself. Maybe, I don't know what it includes, but I
found
that.
I don't know what they're looking at, but.
Yeah, I'm with you. I find that hard to believe. But the borrowers who get started early typically have a much easier time. And it's, again, convincing people. My analogy is the Super Bowl winner started way early in the season, getting ready, athletes train year round. Somehow people still think, and I have some clients that I was going to mention. I used to do a lot of work for them. They bought and sold several homes. They settled down in one house for 5 or 6 years. They called me and they just didn't get started. And they called me again and said, hey, good news. We're putting an offer in tomorrow. When should we get started? And I actually told her about a month ago. as a joke, I mean, they're very qualified people, but you know, she laughed. It really wasn't that funny because she had some job gaps to raise a family. Mm-hmm. These are all the details that the mortgage thing goes through. And again, it's not just the credit and the income. It's every little detail. Someone who has a longtime career took a year off to raise kids. It's all documented. That's a serious problem. So the people who start early, usually we have the lead time to overcome anything. But the people who, like you say, put an offer in and think, oh, we'll just get a loan. Sometimes we do. We have closed loans in very short period of time, 15, 20 days. But that's the exception. And the stress on everyone, I tell people, you're buying a home. It's a big investment. It's a big process. It's very complicated. The last thing you want to do is make more stress for yourselves and your family. Let's just get started and know where we stand.
Well, there's all kinds of situations where the lender isn't necessarily to blame. So, you know, let's say that you got a credit card balance that's too high and you got to pay that credit card off. And in order to qualify and in order to once you pay the credit card off, you got to get a statement from the credit card company so you can go back and rapid rescore to show that it's gone. Right. So stuff like that, it's not the lender's fault. You know, it is up to the consumer to take these steps. And commonly taking those steps, like waiting for a statement from the credit card company to come out, is not something we can control. That's just how it happens. So anyway, point taken. We've heard this. It's nothing new. Get ahead of the process. Pre-approval, pre-qual, yeah, we get it. But people still don't do it. But it's more important than ever. Elon's phone number, 619-994-7887. One more time, 619-994-7887. Now, you have here next on the list three things listeners can do to make it easier on themselves. I mean, the process is stressful enough when buying a home. What can we do to make it easier on ourselves when we're buying a home and getting a mortgage?
Well, it comes down to a couple of really basic common sense things. As many listeners know who have been involved in the process or can imagine, as we discussed, it involves their credit history in terms of their credit score, their income, and also there are other expenses, which you talked about, Ryan, and getting that done. But there's lots of other factors that are involved in the process. So getting started early lets us have the time to deal with that. I mean, all kinds of things, like you mentioned, a credit rescore. Fortunately, we have a way through our credit company of doing a rescore within 2 or 3 days. We actually get the borrower on the line with our credit company, and they call the creditor and verify that that debt was paid off, so we can get that sped up. But again, 2 or 3 days can still be a long time. The market's cooled a little bit, but you're just a much better borrower and a much better offer if you are already pre-approved. The listing agent's going to call me and ask me, tell me about the borrower, and I can say they have great credit and they're really wonderful people. What's the status? If I can say, look, they're completely approved, they just need to find a house, their bargaining power, right, has increased 100% over some of the other offers. Up in Marin, I had a client who was going up against full price cash offers, and they didn't have $800,000 to put down. So we had to overcome that. And so I said, look, this is the way to do it. We get completely ready to go. They had to meet a 10-day contingency. That means that we had to have loan approval and also the appraisal done in 10 days mm-hmm. so that they could sign those off, or else the seller was going to take an all-cash offer. They felt sorry for them, but they weren't going to delay
not
their...
Not that sorry.
Yeah, exactly. but we got it done, and that's the key. So among the things to do is... You know, be aware that there are a lot of minor points. We alluded to it earlier. The process has gotten infinitely more complex than it ever was. But that's what we're trained to do. I've been doing this for 25 years. I was a banker, broker, been involved in all facets of the industry. We look at the entire file and identify any areas that we need to work on. So going in, we're stronger. It all boils down to having an experienced realtor and having an experienced mortgage professional. I know people have gone online and said, you know, I found somebody in Idaho and I think they're really good. I'm like, this is a $500,000 purchase. A lot of homes in our area, millions of dollars, or let's just say a starter home of $300,000. I said, are you going to trust someone who's 2,000 miles away that you've never met? You can't go to their office. We do everything online, email, phone, fax. But you may want to meet me and I'm here, or you may want to meet your realtor and know that you have a team working for you. you're working with somebody online, they might disappoint you and you have no way to reach out to them or make sure that they are who they are. So the number one factor that we talked about and that you've mentioned is start early and identify professionals that you can work with. The real estate side is so much more complex than it ever was. So is the mortgage side. But that's one reason we're in California, and if folks don't recognize it, we are the envy of most of the rest of the world. If you've traveled anywhere and told people you're from California and or San Diego, most people go, oh my God, I'd love to be there. I'd love to visit there. These are the things that we have to do so we can live in paradise.
Yes, it is paradise. I agree with you. Talk with Elon Arbuck. His number is 619-994-7887. One more time, 619-994-7887. So you've got some success stories of some kind of out of the box. I mean, obviously the conventional lending is stuff that you do all the time, and these are out of the box for conventional, not out of the box, out of the box. This is out of the box conventional, meaning that we're just not talking about the run of the mill stuff. These are, you got $3.4 million cash out, you got short sale stuff, divorcing couple. Go over a couple of these examples that you've been able to solve.
Sure. And one more thing to remind listeners is that the lines have blurred a bit, and that's why Jim and I do work together. So in some cases, private money is the avenue, and in some cases, we can go to conventional. But if you contact one of us, you'll get an answer from us of, you know, what the approach needs to be. There are also, as I mentioned, some green shoots coming, and we have portfolio lenders, quite a few of them, that are starting to lighten up finally about short sales. We still are going to make a loan to a good qualified borrower. There are lots of really good qualified people who had short sales for lots of different reasons, some of them, you know, personal, valid reasons. So among the successes, and these are the out-of-the-box ones, we worked on a $3.4 million cash out on a high-end North County property. The borrower was getting back into an industry he had been in before. He wanted a little more money, but I negotiated with the bank. We put together a nice loan file. He really did not have cookie-cutter income. Most high-net-worth people
don't.
They hire CPAs. I've had this conversation with underwriters. They hire CPAs to bury their money in the backyard. So then our business goes, our industry goes, well, where's the money? Well, we've told them it's okay to do that. It's harder to get a loan, but we do have portfolio lenders that will do that. We had a couple that had moved for a business reason, so they had a short sale during the depths of the market. We got the wife an $880,000 cash out on their home and got the husband a $350,000 purchase money loan at good rates, 4.5, 10-year fix, 30-year loan. I mentioned the purchase in Marin. I have a client right now, we have him approved as a foreign national purchasing a $750,000 manufactured home in a high-end park in Malibu. The homes there go up to $3 million. We have clients that we were able to get a conventional loan after they had two short sales on investment property, very strong profile, so we were able to get them done. It really depends on the specifics, and that's what Jim and I will go over. You know, once you call us, contact us, we'll figure out what the best approach is for you.
Well, certainly does sound like if you're looking to borrow money, the combo here, the Dream Team has a solution for you if you're looking to borrow money. One more time, Elon Arbuck, his number, 619-994-7887. One more time, 619-994-7887. Also, Jim Lackey, our mortgage concierge, his website, jimlackeyassociates.com, jimlackeyassociates.com. I'd like to thank you both for joining us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Also want to thank our videographer, bodyguard in general here, Lindsay Chilson. And stay tuned. Coming up next is San Diego Spotlight.